Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Jerry Hairston Jr. going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. We will talk a little Game 5 of the World Series. Obviously, Jerry did play for the Dodgers, won a World Series also with the New York Yankees. So we'll get his thoughts on Game 5, and which has been a very fun series. In Game Number 1, the Blue Jays, they took it to the Dodgers. Then Dodgers got off the mat with Yamamoto in Game 2. And he went the distance, then Game 3. Felt like it was Game 3 and Game 4, but it was only one game because it did go 18 innings. But you had Ohtani with his magic with the two home runs, all the walks, four intentional, five total walks. And then the big walk-off homer by one Freddie Freeman. And last night, everyone here in the station, everyone here across America, even bleeding into Toronto, were saying, "Oh, that's it. Series is over. It's done." And I'm sitting here yesterday, and I hear Nico, right, Scarlatos go, "Oh, yeah, Dodgers going to win." Then I hear Stu said, "Oh, yeah, Dodgers going to win." I go, 18-inning affair. Everyone's going to say the Blue Jays are donezo. Wouldn't this be a resilient Blue Jays moment? And it was, and now it's 4-4. I do think the Dodgers are going to win tonight, and I think they'll take a 3-2 series lead, and then this series will go back to Toronto. But either way, you're sitting there at 2-2. I think this makes for a heck of a watch and what could be a heck of a finish in the World Series. And I don't know about you guys, because Stu's a Yankee fan. So I don't know if you're rooting. Are you rooting for the Blue Jays? Or
I am.
Oh, you are?
I am, yes.
Is that because of Mattingly? Is what, the
no.
bench coach? No, you don't want to see the Dodgers.
I feel like I don't want to see the Dodgers win another one. And I feel like the Blue Jays, of the four other AL East teams, I feel like they're the least, I don't know, annoying, or team that has beat us the least over the past.
Don't tell that to Michael Kay.
Well, that is true. I know that there's been a
hanging on the rim.
That.
How do you like me now, Michael?
So I don't have a disdain for them like I do like the Red Sox, okay, or even the Orioles or the Rays.
Connor, are you a Met fan?
Met fan, yep.
So I'm assuming you're rooting for the Blue Jays?
Yes, because the Dodgers are annoying, and we have close family friends who are Blue Jays fans too. So rooting along with them.
Okay, running through the six. You know, that's what you're going to be doing. So I want to see the Blue Jays win. I do. I think it actually, though, would be better for baseball tonight. Think about the storyline. If the Blue Jays win tonight, they're up 3-2, going back to Toronto. If the Dodgers win tonight, I still have a tough time seeing the Blue Jays hold off the Dodgers, even though the Blue Jays would be home in Game 6 and Game 7. Like, I just have a tough time seeing that happen. However, if Toronto wins tonight, I think it makes for a heck of a story. Because I then believe we would get a Game 7, just the way I feel about it. But from a storyline standpoint, it's sexier to me where, let me be real, I say like, okay, the Blue Jays are America's team, and I think it's a little shtick if I'm just being honest. Is my life going to be ruined? Am I going to be down in the dumps if the Dodgers win the World Series? No. Eventually, there's a respect factor where you got to tip your cap and you got to say, okay, Otani, Betts, Freeman, Kershaw on the way out, congratulations. You know, as a Met fan, if the Phillies win the World Series, I'd be sick. The Yankees I don't hate, but recently I hate the Yankees because their fans are so obnoxious picking and choosing when they care or admitting when they care about Juan Soto leaving. So it would be different if it was the Phillies, even the Braves, or the Yankees in the World Series. Like the Dodgers, what am I going to do? Oh, they're spending so much money? I'm a Met fan. You know, if the Wilpons were there, yeah, it'd be a different story. We got Stevie Cohen. Spend, Stevie, spend. So I'm not going to be miserable if the Dodgers win the World Series. But as someone who, I guess, even though I just said I want the Blue Jays to win, that I kind of think I have a neutral perspective on this. I think if I'm a baseball fan with really not the Blue Jays or the Dodgers, right, with any skin in the game, I think it's a better storyline tonight if the Blue Jays win to then see if the Dodgers could go to Toronto and win in Game 6 and Game 7 in what is going to be an environment that's going to be awesome. Like, remember the NLCS from a few years ago with the Diamondbacks and the Phillies? Right, the Phillies just had to win one game. I know it's a little bit different, but the Diamondbacks ended up winning 6-7. Ooh, 6-7. How about that? But tonight, if the Blue Jays could win, seeing the Dodgers, the big bad Dodgers, right, go to Toronto, to have to win 6-7 would be more interesting to me than the Dodgers winning tonight. And then obviously the Blue Jays could still win 6-7, but I think it's going to be so tough if the Dodgers win tonight with the way that team is constructed for the Blue Jays to win both 6-7, even though it would be at home. Once again, 6-7. Anyway, let's get to a little NFL and college football head coach hot seat. We have so many changes already in college football. In the NFL, not so much. Obviously, you had Callahan, who already got sent packing, and I'm still surprised that Mike McDaniel has a job, but he has continued that suffering for another week because he was able to get a victory up against a coach that, let's be real, isn't all that. And Raheem Morris, who 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, he's parading around like he won a Super Bowl after they beat the Buffalo Bills. Since then, they've lost two games in a row. And you just got blown out at home. At home. I get Kirk Cousins was starting. But still, you can't be competitive up against a garbage Miami Dolphins team. So we have one opening that already happened in the NFL. And then you get to college. You have so many. Headlined by Brian Kelly getting ousted at LSU. Billy Napier getting sent packing at Florida. And then also, you do have Penn State getting rid of James Franklin and a few other jobs, obviously, as well. More than a few other jobs, obviously, as well. So Stu has compiled a list of names here, and I'll tell you if I think they're going to be back next season.
All right, you started with McDaniel with the Dolphins, and like you said, they come off a win this past week, but they are 2-6, and it does feel like he is on borrowed time in Miami.
Yeah, if there is an owner that, like, remember when Dan Quinn, it was obvious it wasn't going to work anymore in Atlanta, and they kept on keeping him around, keeping him around, keeping it around. And hey, Dan Quinn was in a Super Bowl. Mike McDaniel hasn't won a playoff game, but he's made the playoffs twice. But there's just some owners that they baffle you in how long they're going to wait to get rid of the head coach and the GM. There is no way that Mike McDaniel nor Chris Greer should be back next year. But can I say that they're both 100% going to be gone after the season? I can't, because there is some weird just love that Stephen Ross has for Greer and McDaniel. But I would say, yes, it's probably like an 85 to 90% chance that McDaniel's going to be gone after this season.
All right, what about the Bengals? Zach Taylor is their head coach. They are 3-5. They've allowed a league-high 253 points, so the defense still stinks. But, of course, Joe Burrow has not been healthy since week two, and he might miss the rest of the season or most of the season. What about Zach Taylor with the Bengals?
I think it's the perfect time to reset, where Zach Taylor has done a good job. He should be a head coach again in this league. He got them to the Super Bowl. But when you miss the playoffs for this many seasons, and assuming they miss the playoffs once again this year, it's tough for me to justify bringing you back, even though you got screwed this year with Joe Burrow going down. But even if Joe Burrow was healthy, how good would they really be with a defense that is just absolutely terrible? A defense that allows, how about the courage of Pat Boyle coming on this show? And Pat Boyle, after he's been wrong for so many weeks, and he's sitting there saying, oh, Zach, with your Patriot pom-poms out there, Pat Boyle is a Cleveland Browns fan, and he is basically throwing rose petals at the feet of Justin Fields. Like, what is it? One game. And it was against a lousy Bengals defense. So I look at the Bengals, and what are the Bengals synonymous with? Being cheap? There's only 1 year left on this contract for Zach Taylor. So it comes down to, do you say to yourself, okay, it's time to move on? Or do you say, well, Joe Burrow got hurt, so it's tough to really hold that against them? I would say it should be more of the former than the latter. And I don't know if Joe Brady will be a great head coach, but he knows Ja'Marr Chase very well. He knows Joe Burrow very well. I think it's time to just reset at the head coaching position. So I'm going to say it's more probable than not that Zach Taylor is out after this season.
All right, what about someone that has won two Coach of the Year awards, and that is Kevin Stefanski with the Browns. Obviously, the Browns have not been good this year. They are 2-6. They are on to their second quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. Will we see Shedeur Sanders at some point? That remains to be seen. But what about Stefanski with the Browns?
If I'm Kevin Stefanski, I want to get fired by the Cleveland Browns. I don't want to be back next season. He'll get a job somewhere else. He's a good coach. Like Stu said, he's won two Coach of the Year awards in Cleveland. But this is a miserable situation right now. You have a really damn good defense. But offensively, Dylan Gabriel's not going to be the answer. Jerry Jeudy is vastly overrated, right? And this offense doesn't have much to offer, and you're sitting there, and every week you got to get asked about Shedeur Sanders, who, quite frankly, I would just rip off the Band-Aid and play him. But that's not what the Cleveland Browns are going to do, it feels like, for the foreseeable future. You know, at some point, I guess Shedeur will play, but I don't know when. But by some point, by the end of the season, I think he's going to play. If I'm Stefanski, I'm saying, hey, I won two Coach of the Year awards in Cleveland. I think someone will hire me, and you could go get a better job, because even with a lot of jobs that are going to open up, right, the 4 to 8 jobs that will open up, there is a place that you could land that probably instantly you already have it better in that place than where you have it right now in Cleveland. So I think at the end of the year, Andrew Berry will stay, but Kevin Stefanski will part ways or be let go, however you want to word it. And I think that he's going to have a smile on his face saying, whew, I got out of Cleveland.
All right, sticking in that AFC North, the team that many people thought were Super Bowl contenders coming into the year, the Baltimore Ravens, 2-5. Any chance that John Harbaugh is on the hot seat?
He should be on the hot seat because they can't win the big game. I know Lamar has been hurt. I don't see them making a change, though. I think he's starting to enter Mike Tomlin territory, and I know they're kind of similar, right? Tomlin won a Super Bowl. Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl. They're both really, really good. They're not going to be bad enough where by record they should get fired, but it's about winning championships there. I think that's a conversation where a year or two from now, maybe it grows a little bit more, but I think right now it's still a minority opinion, and I don't think that John Harbaugh is going to get fired after the season.
All right, let's make it 4-4 in the AFC North. What about Mike Tomlin? They have Aaron Rodgers.
We went through all the North coaches.
We kind of have Rodgers as the Band-Aid quarterback for this year, maybe next year. They are 4-3, but they certainly have not looked good the last 2 weeks. Could this be the last year of Mike Tomlin with the Steelers?
I said I would give Mike Tomlin, including this season, two more seasons. By the end of the next two seasons, this one and the one after that, he either has to win a playoff game or find the franchise quarterback. If he's done neither, I would get rid of him. That's me saying that. I don't think the Rooney family has any desire to get rid of Mike Tomlin. He's not getting fired.
All right, what about a first-year head coach, someone that finally got his first win of the season this past week? What about Aaron Glenn? Could he be one and done with the Jets?
I don't think he's going to be a successful head coach. I do think Woody Johnson's going to bring him back next season. Now, he keeps on going back and forth with the media after the owner said something that was pretty clear and obvious. That may not be good news for Aaron Glenn, but I think he'll be back next year as the coach of the Jets. And Woody Johnson going out of his way to trash the quarterback while not trashing the head coach, I guess in a way makes me think even more that Aaron Glenn will be back next season. But I don't believe in him.
What about another first-year head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, with the Cowboys? They haven't been terrible, 3-4-1, but their defense has not been good, and it is Jerry Jones, so I guess you never know.
Jerry Jones is patient. I know people don't think that, but he usually gives the coaches a longer rope than usually what people think. I don't think there's any chance Brian Schottenheimer is getting fired after this year.
The team with the longest losing streak is the Arizona Cardinals. They've lost 5 in a row. What about Jonathan Gannon?
And this is now year 3, I believe, for Gannon. There's going to be a question about Kyler Murray. There's going to be a question about Gannon. I'll put it at 52%. I think it's a flip of the coin right now. And I think it's a 52% chance that he is going to get fired. I lean more that he is going to get fired than he's not. I don't know if he's a bad coach necessarily, but and that roster's just not that good. But usually in this league, 3 years and not much success, then usually they do say goodbye to you.
All right, want to switch gears to some college football guys here. Hugh Freeze, it's been a disappointing year at Auburn. What about Hugh Freeze, his chances of retaining his job?
I think he has a chance to retain his job. I would say it's about a 35% chance. The AD has not come out yet, though, and give him a vote of confidence, and that has been a topic of conversation. But through 3 years right now, it's just not going the way that people envisioned it at Auburn. I would get rid of him, and also you have all these changes happening. Also, changes happening in the SEC. I think that, yeah, Hugh Freeze is gone at the end of the season.
All right.
Play some golf.
How about Mike Norvell of Florida State? They had that big win against Alabama to start the season, but it's been downhill since then. They've lost 4 in a row. They are 0-4 in the ACC.
He's gone because the athletic director basically came out and said, hey, he's definitely going to be our coach until the end of the season, then we'll reevaluate things. You know what? Is that him? You know what he's saying right there? Hey, we need more money. Fork up the dough if you want the coach out to the boosters. That's basically the challenge that he issued. I know Tommy Bowden joined us, and he said that he believes Norvell will be back next year because they don't have the money. I think there's going to be a way to get the money, especially with all these big programs that are saying goodbye to coaches. So Norvell's a nice guy, but I think he's going to be out.
All right, Mark Stoops, he turned around that Kentucky program, but again, our team that is struggling this year, they are 0-5 in the SEC. What about Mark Stoops?
He's done a heck of a job at Kentucky. I think it's time to reset. Summer will probably going to get a bigger job, but he played there at Kentucky. I think this is one of those things where they agree that it's time for both parties to move on, and they try to go find a younger coach. And if Mark Stoops wants to continue to coach, he'll land somewhere at a smaller program, probably a non-Power 4 program would be my guess. I think he's out.
All right. Luke Fickle was a decorated hire from Cincinnati at Wisconsin, but they are pretty bad this year. Is any chance that he keeps his job?
I think so. It's like the Wisconsin fan base is great. In the national landscape, though, obviously they're a nice brand and they got good fans. I don't think I know that they're hurt right now. And the fans have been chanting Fire Fickle, and Barry Alvarez like went all back and forth with the fans, which I just thought was ridiculous in terms of Barry. But I kind of think Fickle should be out, but I think he will be back for one more season next year. I think he'll be back next season with that Tuchus on the hot seat in a big way. On fire!
All right, what about Bill Belichick? His first year college coach, North Carolina, but it has not gone well. Could Belichick be one and done in UNC?
Maybe I'm an idiot here. And where there's smoke, there's a fire. And every indication makes you believe that Bill Belichick's going to be out at the end of the year. I kind of think that he's going to be back next year. I know it's ugly, but I'm trying to figure out what is the actual reality of what's going on. Now, Pablo Torre keeps on digging. He may be out. But even though I probably should say he's out, I think Belichick is back next year, and I would probably say his second year is his last year at UNC.
From North Carolina to South Carolina, South Carolina came into the season with some expectations, and they have not been met. Could Shane Beamer be fired or at least on his way to Virginia Tech or somewhere?
I feel like James Franklin's going to be the next head coach at Virginia Tech. That's what I'm just feeling. And I think it's a good spot for James. No national championship expectations. He's a good coach, not a great coach. You get out of the spotlight a little bit. You go win 8 to 10 games, you'll be a legend there. If I'm right that you're going to see James Franklin at Virginia Tech, and that would be my prediction. And I guess you can't have Pry on his staff because they just fired him as the head football coach. He used to be his DC at Penn State. I would then say Shane Beamer is going to stay at South Carolina. So not a good year for them with the Gamecocks, but I think Shane Beamer is going to be back at South Carolina.
All right, last one here. How about Dave Aranda at Baylor? Again, our team with some expectations, but they are just 4-4 this year.
Dave Aranda's out. He's gone. You know, he took over a really good situation where Matt Rhule basically built it back up at Baylor. He won a Big 12 championship, give him credit. He could be the next coach at UCLA. Like, I could see that. But this year has been a disaster. And here's the big problem. They're not showing up to games. Those fans are not showing up to games. So I think Dave Aranda's out. I'll give you one more, just this is NFL. Brian Daboll. I'm curious about Daboll. Where John Mara is obviously going through a cancer battle right now, and I wish nothing but the best for John Mara. Daboll has the relationship with Dart. But I do wonder what, like, that to me is a fascinating one. Do you, like, it's possible you draft a quarterback in the first round and then you get rid of the coach and the GM. We see that all the time now in the league. Look at Cam Ward. I know Borgonzi is going to stay, with Tennessee, but they already got the coach out. I'm curious about Daboll. That's the one I really don't know. And I would lean that Mara gives him another year. And we'll see, obviously, what Mara's health is. Like, I don't even know what the decision-making process is going to be on that one. But it's when you watch the Giants, I know that a few weeks ago they had a nice performance up against the Eagles. And right, they blew that game up against the Broncos. I just wonder, when you keep on losing and losing and losing, even if you think the quarterback's going to be a heck of a quarterback, if the coach is going to be able to keep his job. All righty, we'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. Jerry Harrison Jr. will join us next. But first, DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. It is the place to bet on NBA stars this season. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code GELB, G-E-L-B. That's code GELB. Bet $5 and get 3 months of NBA League Pass Plus. Get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Passer or per wager tax may apply in Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Must be present in state where it's lawful to wager. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets that are non-cash credits that expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. NBA League Pass subject to blackouts and other restrictions and auto renews until canceled. Additional terms, dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer valid until November 16th, 2025.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The World Series is all tied up at 2 games apiece after the Toronto Blue Jays got a huge Game 4 victory after what was the 18-inning affair for Game 3 earlier in the week. You have Game 5 tonight. Let's head out to the hotline right now and welcome in a former Los Angeles Dodger. He also won a World Series with the Yankees. And that, of course, is our pal, Jerry Hairston Jr. Jerry, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Anytime, Zach. Been great, man. You just mentioned the Dodgers and Blue Jays tied up 2-2. I'm hoping for my sake that Dodgers go up 3-2 after tonight.
Well, I'm just hoping for your sake. You're not in a gym right now. I remember last time you joined us, you got accosted by some lady who was angry at you for working out and talking to us. You're not in a gym right now, right?
I'm in that very same gym, but instead of being in the gym way in the cut, like in a room that nobody's in, that lady came in that room and attacked me. And she was suspended for the gym momentarily, which is good. I'm outside now in a safe place.
Wow. So we got someone suspended from a gym. That's a pretty high honor for us.
Well, she got herself suspended. You know, she can't be threatening people at the gym. Come on, let's be real.
Yeah, 100%. Jerry Hairston Jr. with us. So after the 18-inning game, a lot of people thought the World Series was over. People were saying, oh, the Dodgers with Ohtani on the mound, we're going to win Game 4. Clearly, that didn't go the way the Dodgers fan or a lot of people were predicting last night. Just how about the resiliency of that Toronto Blue Jays squad last night?
Well, it's amazing. Our guy who does the point guard of our show, John Hartung, does an amazing job. I told him last night, I didn't really feel good about that game, Game 4, because it did go 18 innings. And yes, the Dodgers did win that ball game. But, you know, the Blue Jays are a great hitting ball club. They led all of Major League Baseball in batting average. So they have different clubs in their bag. You know, they'll take their base hits. They'll base hit you the desk, but they also have power as well. We saw with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last night. But they take their hits. I think the Dodgers sometimes get in trying to knock you out. You know, throw those haymakers, try to have that knockout punch instead of taking your jabs as a boxer. Jab, 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 right cross, and then once the guy is staggered, then you throw that knockout blow. I think last night, because both teams are tired, suited the Blue Jays. The way their hitting philosophy is a little bit better. When you're tired, it's tough to hit home runs. It is so tough to hit home runs, and they base hit us to death last night, and they're able to beat us. And Shohei Ohtani, for him to go out there and give us 6 innings, strong innings, and give us a chance to win, is just a testament to how great he is, man. It's a shame the Dodgers weren't unable to help him and with some run support.
You know, from the ending of the NLCS to where we are right now, I know that we're probably all running out of adjectives to describe what Shohei Ohtani has been able to do, but really in the last 2 weeks, how do you kind of just put it into words?
He's the best baseball player I ever seen. I never saw Babe Ruth, obviously. I never saw Josh Gibson play, but for my eyes, now listen to me here, okay? Ted Williams, you can make an argument, is the greatest hitter of all time. You can make a case that Barry Bonds is the best hitter. And also you can make a case he's the best player, too, because he has stolen bases, MVPs. But what Shohei Ohtani is doing, Babe Ruth did not do this. Sure, Babe Ruth was a starting pitcher, and he thrived. Then he became a great hitter, and then just focused on hitting, dropped the pitching. Shohei was doing both at the same time in the NLCS and in the World Series. And not only that, he's thriving with the bat. I never thought I would see this. He's literally like, he's doing things 12-year-olds do in Little League. He's doing this at the biggest level and on the biggest stage. So Shohei Ohtani, in my humble opinion, is the best baseball player my eyes ever seen.
Yeah, and I don't mean this in a literal way. And obviously, I never saw Babe Ruth either. But it feels like it's Babe Ruth on steroids, for at least the way that Babe Ruth was described to me.
Yeah, I would say that too. I mean, because like I said earlier, Babe Ruth didn't do both at the same time, you know, and for Shohei Ohtani to continue to do both and not just do both, thrive at doing both. I mean, I just go back to NLCS. He strikes out the side in the first inning, then he hits a leadoff home run. He's not done there. He goes out there and deals on the mound, and then he hits 3 home runs that game. I mean, this is the NLCS. This ain't a game in April, which would be insane if he did that in April. He's doing it against great teams on the biggest stage. And listen, no disrespect to Aaron Judge, who is incredible player, great ambassador for the game. He's the captain of the Yankees. that right now the best player, the best athlete in the world is Shohei Ohtani.
So Jerry Hairston Jr. is here with us. People just like to bitch and complain, and when they don't like something, they try to change things instantly, especially when you get so many people parachuting in for the World Series. The intentional walks, as you saw, four of them in Game 3. Now, all of a sudden, and I sounded off on this the other day, like, what changes do people actually want? This is Major League Baseball. It's such a rare instance. If some player is that great enough where he wants to get intentionally walked four times, why should we implement a rule to prevent that? What did you make of all that conversation the last 24 to 48 hours?
Well, you can't change the rule on the fly.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the rules that are in place right now. Now, if they want to revisit it in the offseason, you got to go through collective bargaining. You got to go through the Players Association. I don't think the rule is going to change.
Agreed.
We saw last night, they pitched to Shohei Ohtani. I just think, kind of like with Barry Bonds, if they didn't do it for Barry Bonds, you know, I don't think they're going to do it for Shohei as far as, you know, making, you know, the intentional walk a non-issue, meaning banning it or only doing it one time a game. I just think it was a rare thing. Shohei was extremely hot. The Dodger bats outside of Shohei Ohtani, I think collectively have hit 194 in this World Series. So, you know, if you're managing, you can't let Shohei Ohtani beat you. So I understand why they put Shohei Ohtani on. But at the same time, Mookie Betts in the past has made the other team pay for it. So I'm hoping, you know, one of these times they walk Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts is going to make them pay for it.
Well, the craziest when they walk Ohtani and then walk Betts to get to Freddie Freeman. Like that's nuts to me. But I'll say this. Last night I predicted when we were going around the room with my crew that the Blue Jays were going to win. I feel like Mookie Betts, with how great of a player he is, he's just due, and tonight's going to be the Mookie Betts game.
I agree. I have a strong feeling. I have a feeling Mookie Betts, he is too talented. And I saw some swings that he was making some adjustments last night. Now, he wasn't really rewarded for those swings last night, but usually it's the second day. Once you found something, it's that second day, and I have a feeling he's gonna have a big night tonight. And listen, Blake Snell's going to need run support. He's been outstanding this postseason. This Blue Jay team does an incredible job putting the ball in play and spoiling tough pitches. So I think Blake Snell against this Blue Jay team has to bring his A game. I hope you're right, Zach. I hope Mookie Betts is on as well.
Are you confident after what happened in Game 1 that you're going to see, obviously, a huge response game tonight in a pivotal Game 5 from one Blake Snell?
I am. You know, Blake Snell is not only very talented, he's one of the most smartest players, not just pitchers, players I've been around. He's very cerebral. He knows what the opposition is trying to do to him. And I think he was off in that Game 1. Remember, that was a long layoff, not just for Blake, but the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think now he's in his normal rest, normal routine. He's going to make the necessary adjustments, and I think he's going to execute those pitches. So hopefully the Blue Jays, I mentioned it, they're a very talented team. They're a great, scrappy bunch of guys, 1 through 9. I'm hoping they bring their C game against Blake Snell's A game tonight.
And here's the other thing. Inexperience could go one or two ways. One, obviously, the moment could be too big. Or two, since you don't know what really is happening, you just take advantage of it, and it could actually help you. When you look at a guy like Treya Savage, who's going to be getting the ball tonight for the Blue Jays, and the story's incredible. Started the year in single-A baseball. Didn't get called up until September. Started Game 1 of the World Series, and now is starting a pivotal Game 5 tonight with this series started tied up at 2 games apiece. What do you expect out of him? What are the realistic expectations if you're a Blue Jays fan to get out of Treya Savage tonight?
Well, here's the one thing. If I'm a Blue Jays fan, you know he's not going to be scared of the moment. You're not. And he's a guy that really dealt against the Yankees, a really good Yankees lineup.
Yeah.
He's already pitched in big games, even though he's a rookie. He's made more postseason starts than regular season starts, which is insane. But he's poised. He trusts his stuff. I think the biggest key tonight, it's a lot easier said than done. I know as a former player and hitter, if you lay off that slider, that split finger, try to keep him up in the strike zone. Hopefully you count at 2-1, 2-0, 3-1. Now you force him to come in the strike zone. And if you start squaring balls up, maybe, hopefully in the Dodgers side, you scare him out of the strike zone. But he's got great stuff. He's got great makeup. I expect him to pitch pretty well tonight, but I expect the Dodgers to put really good at-bats against him tonight.
Wrap it up with Jerry Hairston Jr. on the Zach Gelb Show. Obviously, the stars are dominated with the Dodgers in the World Series, from Ohtani to Betts and Freeman, with all those MVPs, and then even for some of them, World Series MVPs. On the other side, though, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., obviously everyone loved his dad. He's one of my favorite baseball players growing up, and so many people know Vladdy through his dad and also with the fact that Vladdy's a heck of a baseball player. But to see him have that moment last night and really showcase that personality on such a huge stage in a Game 4, that was a great thing for baseball, even though your Dodgers didn't get the victory.
No, let me tell you, I said it before the series started. No disrespect to any player, whether it's Jackson Chirios or Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, the best player this year that this Dodger team is going to face in the postseason is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He is not just a slugger. He is a great hitter. He's a complete hitter. He's very smart. Shohei Ohtani struck him out on a slider his very first at-bat. His next at-bat, he makes that adjustment. Cunning slider, he got it up in the zone, drove out of the ballpark. And he's not just a great hitter. He is a great baseball player. Runs the bases extremely well. He can steal a base. And at first base, he's a third baseman playing first. He's got great range. He's got great hands. And that play he made the other night to cut off that ball up the line and then gun down Teoscar Hernandez at third base. Very few first basemen I see make that play. He is such a talented player and a great ambassador for this sport, not just for Canada and Toronto. He's a great ambassador for the game of baseball. I love watching him play, but I don't want to see him succeed anymore. He's got his shine. Everybody knows he's a great player. Vladdy, we know you're a great player. You're just as good, maybe better than his dad at some point, which is saying something, which is insane because his dad was unbelievable. But I think his dad would love to say that his son is better than him. So he's a great player, and I'm hoping he's had enough shine and Dodgers limit his damage and the Dodgers go on and win the series.
Do you think Springer gives it a go tonight?
You know what? That's tough to say. If he wasn't ready to go last night, anytime you're dealing with an oblique, that's probably the worst injury to have as a hitter. And not only as a designated hitter at that, because you're not out in the field, you know, staying hot, you know, running the outfield and coming back and hitting. He's kind of, I know they got the batting cages down there below. It's kind of hard for him to DH and stop and go and stop and go. And he swings so violently. I would be shocked if he gives it a go. Again, listen, they just tied the series. They know now they're going back to Toronto. If I'm the manager, I would probably give him today off too, because you have another day off tomorrow and hoping for game six. That's what I would probably do, because anytime you're dealing with an oblique, that is a very serious injury, especially when you're swinging the bat.
Do you feel like whoever wins the game tonight will end up winning the series?
I do. I really do. I think tonight is a must-win for the Dodgers. It's not so much a must-win for the Blue Jays, but if they do somehow win this ball game, you got to figure they feel great. You get two games at home to win one. So that's why I think this game means a lot more to the Dodgers. It is a must win for the Dodgers. Now, that doesn't say they can't go out and win two games in Toronto, because they're very talented. They got great pitching. But listen, it's like Max Muncy said last night, it's a one game series now. All we're worried about is game five to get in this game. And I think they need this game tonight.
He's Jerry Hairston Jr., played for the Dodgers, also a World Series champion with the New York Yankees, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show, and didn't have any crazy ladies yelling at him this time when he was doing an interview with us. Jerry, we appreciate the time as always.
Anytime.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, this Thursday Night Football preview on a Wednesday is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. Tomorrow night, the Ravens visit the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. Both teams are coming off of wins last week as the Ravens sit at 2-5 and the Dolphins are 2-6. The Louisiana governor, Jeff Landry, just spoke to the media. We will get you some of those clips coming up in about a minute or two. But my, oh my, did he take a blowtorch to the career of the current athletic director at a Louisiana State University in Scott Woodward, who I'm going to imagine, I'm just going to assume, after we play you those clips, he ain't going to be the athletic director at LSU for that much longer. Now, Matt Moscona joined us yesterday, who hosts on ESPN Baton Rouge, and he said to us that when I said, okay, like my two predictions for the LSU head coach is either Lane Kiffin or John Sumrall. Who are the two guys that you believe could be the next head coach at LSU? And he goes, it's tough for me to answer because he goes, I don't know who's making the hire. And I said, okay, expand. And when he expanded, he said, I think it's inevitable that Scott Woodward, because LSU still has to hire a new president, when that new president is hired, the AD Scott Woodward, who hired Jimbo Fisher at A&M and all the money that was tied up there, and also hired Brian Kelly at LSU, he got, you know, both those coaches, the buyouts are crazy. So he thinks that the new president is Moscona, that the new president is going to inevitably fire the AD and Scott Woodward. And then I said, well, do you think that's going to happen before they hire a new football coach? And he said, yes. So, Stu, in order of these clips, the one that you just cut up, we should probably play that one first, I would imagine. So let me play a little excerpt from the press conference today with the Louisiana governor, Jeff Landry.
We are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again. And you know what? I believe that we're going to find a great coach. I mean, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. You know, I'm not going to be picking the next coach. But I can promise you, we're going to pick a coach. And we're going to make sure that that coach is successful. And we're going to make sure that he's compensated properly. And we're going to put metrics on it. Because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country. And then leaving the taxpayers on the foot, you know, to foot the bill. So, yeah, absolutely.
It almost sounds fake. It's real. But when I was listening to it, and it's from verified people in the college football world, Trey Wallace and Dellinger and all these guys, Ross Dellinger. And I go, that doesn't sound real. It almost sounds like a comedian doing a crappy Trump impersonation. Maybe they'll let Donald Trump. He likes winners. He'll pick the new head coach. Could you imagine Donald Trump? Let me tell you, we got a big good football program here. Oh, my God. That's how Nick Saban could be the next head coach at LSU. Donald Trump picks it. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. All right, let's hear more from the Louisiana governor, Jeff Landry, on LSU and how they're going to proceed moving forward.
No, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee, and they're going to go find us a coach. Hold on. One real quick thing.
You're going to find us a coach.
Because here's what y'all reporters need to do. Y'all need to start looking at who represents all these people, like these agents. You know what's interesting? If I'm not mistaken, Woodard's agent, Kelly's agent, the Texas A&M, they're all the same agent. Like, you realize if I would be, I don't know how y'all, how many sports writers we got here today? Like, just you. We should have a bunch, okay? Like, this is ridiculous. Lawyers would be disbarred for the way these agents act and the way they're able to represent. There's no doubt, they may even represent some of the players now. Like, it's really time for the NCAA to put on some guardrails in college sports. Because, and it's fine, we don't need the guardrails. If big billionaires want to spend all that kind of money, no problem. But if I got to go find $53 million from Kemp, it's not going to be a pleasant conversation. I'm just telling you.
Oh, my God. You know who he sounds like? A crappy Trump impersonation with, like, a high-pitched Ed Orgeron. If they had a little nookie time, the governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, would be the offspring. Oh, those are some juicy quotes. Is there a press briefing today with the president? Would you be interested in hiring the next head football coach at Louisiana State University? Oh, my God. I'm telling you, the days you do this job, that if you would have told me that we would have a press conference from the governor of Louisiana talking about how Donald Trump could be picking the next head football coach at LSU while trashing the current AD in Scott Woodward, I would not have believed that. That's one of those reality TV moments where I sit there and I go, we got to talk about this. That's what we got to talk about right now. Oh, my God. That's something. That is really, really something. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what I'm telling you? His voice is an all-timer. An all-timer. Oh, I want the press briefing today or tomorrow. You have who's the girl from CNN? Collins, I think her name is. Right? Yeah,
Caitlin Collins,
thank you. I'm not very political. But, hey, President Trump... The Louisiana governor joked or was maybe serious about you picking the next head football coach. Who would you hire as the next head football coach of LSU?
Let me tell you, that Lane Kiffin.
Great guy.
Sean Merriman is going to join us next. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Right here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm telling you, that guy is like... those crappy Trump impersonators. I'm not a good one. That, like, just accost people on the street. That's what the governor of Louisiana sounded like. Oh, my God.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.